As we continue to worship together, the ushers are going to come forward in a moment and give us a chance just to trust God with our finances and in a very tangible way and trust Him with our resources. And so they'll come by in just a moment. But before they do that, it was a little over 10 years ago when three families from the Midwest decided to listen to God and to jump and then take a step and move and away from all their friends, move away from all their family, everything that they knew, and plant a church here in Cary, North Carolina. And it's amazing to see the ripples of that decision. Whereas what started out as three families several years ago, now 10 years later, 1,400 of us journey together on a weekly basis, and all of the lives and the stories that have been affected by those three families listening to God and saying, yeah, we'll go and we'll start something new. Now, I know these three families fairly well, and I can guarantee you that the last thing that they would ever want or ever do want is any recognition for the step of faith that they took and for their boldness and their courage to come and to start this community. But I also think that it's appropriate in times for us as a community just to thank them in an appropriate measure that would honor the sacrifices and the courage that they took that allow us to be a part of this great movement today. So as they come to join us on the stage, would you help me thank them and honor them for the great sacrifice and courage they've shown? So. Great. Well, just as a matter of introduction, for those of you that may not be familiar, this is Dee Dee and Mark Kitts, and Dee Dee and Mark are still actively involved here at Cross Point, and Mark is an elder here at the church. Next to him is Steve Larson, and Steve Larson was the founding pastor here at Cross Point and the senior pastor from the beginning that I've had the honor to kind of follow in his footsteps. His wife, Shelley, was also just a major part of this community, and her fingerprints are still felt here, but she was unable to join us today. And then next to Steve is Chris and Greg Stoner, who many of you know that are, again, actively involved around here. Greg is an elder, and Chris is our pastor at Children's Ministries here at Cross Point. And so this morning I wanted to just give us an opportunity just to listen to some of their story and to how it got started, and because I think it's important for us to know where we've come from, to know our roots, and to know what this thing is that we're a part of, and so that we can continue to pass on that story of faith and trust. And so, Steve, I'm going to start with you, and you were a successful business person and a family business that had done very well. And so what was it that made you, you know, several years ago to say, you know what, yeah, let's plant a church. That'll be something to do. So what was the switch, and what was in you that made you want to do that?
I was in my early 30s, and the goal in my life was to go to heaven when I die and bring as many people with me as I could. And not many people were coming along with me. And there was a sense of unrest in my spirit and felt like something needed to change. Over the years, people used to say, well, you should consider going into ministry. And I would put my hands up and say, no, that's not for me. That's for someone else. I'm in the paint business, and I'm going to help advance the kingdom with our company. Well, people wouldn't call me on Monday morning and say, that paint you made for us changed our lives. You know, so they would call with complaints, but that's about it. Well, I remember reading in Money Magazine about the Triangle area and how desirable of a place it was to live. And there was another story one year about Cary, you know, and they called it the containment area for relocated Yankees then. And I was a Yankee and felt like, well, maybe I can fit in a place like that in the South. I did some research and saw that God was really working in a great, significant way in many new churches all across the country. And felt like, well, maybe being an entrepreneur myself, starting something from scratch would be what God would desire for me. My wife Shelley and I came down here and visited the area. We sent a letter to the Chamber of Commerce. They didn't have email back then. 10 years, it's amazing what happens in 10 years, isn't it? Well, I had gotten a letter back from Beth McKinney, a realtor in the area, and for some reason we connected with her letter and came down and met with Bud and Beth. They took us around the area. And Beth would say, well, we'll be part of your church. Consider us your first members. And I'm thinking, yeah, she just wants to sell me a house, you know. But the weekend was being finished, and right before we left, Bud got out of the car, and he doesn't say a whole lot, but he came up to Shelley and me, and he just kind of paused and said, we really need you here. And that really touched me, and it kind of felt like it was confirmation from God to say, yeah, let's see what can happen. Let's not get to the end of our life and wonder, what if? You know, so we thought, let's give it a go and see what happens. That's what happened.
Thanks for jumping. So, Mark and Dee Dee, Steve first approached you guys about this idea of planting a church. What was that like for you? What was there a moment or was there a point in time when it went from, okay, well, that's kind of a fun idea to think about, to, okay, we're actually doing this? I mean, what was that moment like for you guys?
Well, for us, it really started in the summer of 96. I was working as a software developer at the corporate headquarters for Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati. And during my lunch breaks and on the ride on the bus to downtown, I was reading this book called The Purpose-Driven Church. And for the first time in my life, this guy put this together that, wow, we can do church differently, and we can do it in a way that's really effective, that reaches people wherever they are. I mean, the church we were going to did weird stuff. We sang 300-year-old songs and dressed in suits and wore happy masks every week. That's not real, you know. I wanted a church that I could invite the people that I saw walking through the lobby of this corporate headquarters to come to, and they'd feel really great, you know, and hopefully find out about Jesus. Well, I was also going through the study called Experiencing God in my small group. And that the point of that whole study was, you know what, you need to get to the place where it's not about you, it's about what God is already doing and blessing, and you need to get to the place where you say, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so I remember coming home in August of 96, and I told my wife, I said, we're going to do whatever God wants us to do, and that may mean leaving here. And in the next 3 months, three different individuals came to me. One of them lived in Siberia, a missionary there. Another guy was in Illinois, and another guy was in Michigan. And they said, you need to call this guy named Steve Larson. He's looking for some people to help him go start a church in North Carolina. And the story of all, you know, all three of those people, how they came, is pretty amazing. But long story short, we hooked up with Steve about a week later after the third time God said, go call this guy. And the rest is history.
Wow. So, yeah. Very cool. Well, Greg and Chris, I know the idea of planting a church wasn't even on your radar screen. I mean, that wasn't even something you guys were thinking about. So I'm sure you had some fears, you had some doubts, you had some things that you didn't feel equipped to even dream about or do. So what was it like wrestling through some of those doubts and fears? What was that like for you?
For me, it was really not, I didn't have any fear. Like a lot of us, I was on a journey with God, and this was a part of that. And I had been begging God for 3 years to use me in a more significant way. And I had gotten to the point where I was saying, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere, I'll learn a language, I'll go around the world. You just tell me where you want me to go, and I'll go. You just got to convince my wife that it's a good idea. And because I had not been telling her that I'd been asking God for this. And that's a really good marriage tool for those of you. So I was, I had kind of achieved the American dream. I had all the things I thought I'd ever want. I had my forever house, and I had lots of things. And but it was really a dead end for me, and it just was not doing it for me. And when God impressed upon me that we needed to come here, Steve and actually Mark came that weekend, I think, too. But anyway, they came and asked us to move down here with them. I had every intentions of praying for 2 weeks and then blowing them off at the end of it, because I was ready to go someplace far worse than Cary, North Carolina. And I just kept thinking, God wouldn't do this good for me. He's going to send me to Siberia, where that other guy was from. And I don't know what he did. So anyway, I when it became evident that God wanted us to move here, I didn't have any fear, because I still believe this day God provides for your needs. He will. He doesn't do it the way you want, but he does it. As far as doubts, the doubts that I had were wondering if I had heard him right, because I was burning all my bridges and getting ready to sell everything and move to North Carolina, where I'd never been before. And that was the only doubts that I had. But there was the other side of me that just, I knew God had led us here. So I was really fighting against myself. That's kind of what it was for me.
Good. Well, Chris, too, I mean, you obviously, Greg's told us he had a different kind of viewpoint. And he hadn't let you in on this plan that he had been working with God. So you're in a unique position with two young kids and thinking about moving across the country. So what was some of that like for you, some of those fears that you wrestled through?
Yeah, I did have fears, a lot of them, because when Steve approached us, basically he said, we have this position that we want Chris to fill, which is a part-time $300 a week salary children's ministry, and Greg, you'll just need to come down and find a job. And, you know, a lot of my security was wrapped up in that, and I was really afraid. And when we went to sell our house, we found out that the house that we had there on a nice big piece of property, a big house, and that when we sold it, it wouldn't even hardly touch what we could buy here in Cary. So there was a lot going on there. But we were really comfortable in Indianapolis. We really loved the people in our church, and it was a comfortable place to be. And there wasn't really any reason to leave. We didn't leave there. What we did was we followed where we felt like God was leading. And we said, we could stay in Indianapolis forever, and we could be a part of this church, and our kids can grow up with their cousins, and it'll be great. But at the time, our kids were 4 and 6. And when we talked about it, we said, or we can go where we feel like God is moving. We can join the ride, and we think it really will make an impact on our kids when they grow up that we decided to do this. And so really that was a major part in leaving the fears behind and just trusting that God, who was leading, was going to provide.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I know so many of us sometimes are hesitant with where we feel like God's moving, because we're like, oh, when I get through this stage of life or this season of life, especially as a parent, you know, with kids, and you think, well, maybe when my kids are out of the house. But I mean, it's great to see that you're like, yeah, God was moving in our kids' lives too, and not just your all's lives. Well, Steve, you kind of launch into this thing. The first Sunday comes and people show up. And then the next week, people actually come back. And so it's had to be quite this ride for you. And so what was it that God was teaching you? I'm curious about himself and about just your faith in him. What was he teaching you during that season?
God taught us a lot. For me, I had never done this kind of thing before. Having been in the marketplace, I wasn't used to getting up every Sunday and having something to say. And God said, one of the lessons that I learned was, I will never leave you. And there's a scripture passage in the book of Hebrews, and the writer there has really a double negative. It's in their culture, it was added for emphasis. It's like, I will not, no, never will I leave you. And I needed that, because every Sunday I felt like I just told you everything I knew. Now the next Sunday I got to figure out some more stuff. And I needed him in my camp to pull that off. And he also taught me some things about being with us, that I will be with you. Now, in the Great Commission, we talk a lot about reaching people and baptizing people and teaching people, but in the end, Jesus says, I'll always be with you. And I needed that. It was not an easy experience. It's a very difficult task to plant a church from nothing. Sometimes you get emails that aren't the kindest. Sometimes people leave. Sometimes you wonder if you'll be able to meet in the movie theater again the next Sunday. We had a couple different experiences where they threatened to kick us out. They said they're not going to renew our lease. Where are we going to go? We had grown significantly. Who could hold our group? And we needed God to say, I'm with you. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. And you don't always ask for those lessons, but looking back, those were very apparent in the experience that we had at Crosspoint. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Mark and Didi, I know anytime you start something new and you're kind of launching something and getting it going, that there's always challenges. There's things that you don't expect to happen, and oftentimes those bring some pretty funny moments that you can look back on and reflect on. So I'm just curious if there were some moments that you look back and every time you think about them, or you just make you laugh about the kind of journey that you guys have been on.
We actually had a chance to have dinner all together the other night, and we talked about a lot of these. So the two little ones I'm going to tell you, that's about one of 2,000. But Steve probably won't want me to tell this one. We had a video clip, and, you know, it wasn't DVD, it wasn't digital. It was a VHS and a guy going stop, start on the video clip for a Sunday morning. And they didn't push the stop at the right time, and a string of obscenities came out of the character's mouth in the video clip, and Steve rose on the front row, rose to his feet, and then slowly sat back down as he realized there was nothing he could do. So we have to laugh about those moments. And Mark, at that time, he was in charge of making sure the stop and start got done correctly. So at the end, he was dismissing everyone, and he said, it was really nice to know you. I think I've lost my job today, so it was really good to be with you guys. One Sunday, we had no power. Somebody found a flashlight, and Steve likes to walk when he talks. And so there's a guy with a flashlight on the front row doing this for basically the whole sermon. You know, it just, and the amazing part of all those things were that was the Sunday that someone would come up to us in tears saying, this was the most impactful Sunday I met with God today. And we're like, what? You know, what? And I think God used those times. It's an amazing thing to watch.
Yeah, so. That's great. Well, Greg and Chris, you've kind of had the unique perspective of being here from the beginning, but also just being both, you know, intricately involved in the future and where we're headed. So what is it that you find yourself just most excited about, Crosspoint, as we look ahead to the next 10 years? What are the things that excite you most?
Yeah, I can't come up with anything. No, I'm just kidding.
Great to hear from your elder. Yes, thank you.
Now, for me, I mean, you know, we talked about this weekend, and the mission really of Crosspoint has never changed the same. It's never changed. It's always been the same. We have always wanted to invite people who find God a little odd or have had bad experiences. We wanted to always have a place that those kind of people could come and that you could invite your neighbors to, and they wouldn't have to learn a new language, speak differently, look differently, act differently. But they could just be themselves, and it's still that way. And the other thing I look forward to is it's amazing to me how God continually uses you guys and us, just regular people, to influence other people that don't know Him. And I think the best thing, and I've described this a lot to a lot of people, I think the best thing that Crosspoint has done from the beginning, and we still do this today, is we do our best to stay out of God's way, not put our agenda ahead of His, and allow Him to work in us and in this place and in all of our lives the way He wants to do it, even if it's not particularly the way we would do it. That excites me about the future. We have a whole new crop of staff here. These guys are great. They're younger. They got a different perspective on things than we had when we started. Of course, it's not the right perspective. No. I mean, they're great. And I really am looking forward to the next chapter of Crosspoint. It's going to be great. The next 10 years, it'll be cool seeing what happens here.
Awesome. Well, good. On that note, I'd like to just take a moment where we as a community could just pray over you guys and thank God for you. And then afterwards, Steve, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to ask you just to pray for our church community, that as we move forward, I'd love it and be very honored if you would just pray over us. So let's pray together. Father, we take this moment to thank you so much for these families. And not only for these people on stage, but Father, for their kids and who were so much a part of this journey as well. And so, God, we thank you for their courage. We thank you for their faith and their trust in you. Father, we thank you that they didn't choose to stay comfortable, but they chose to listen to the stillness and quietness of your voice and take a leap. And God, we celebrate all that you've done through that. Father, we gathered here this morning are a visible testimony to the impact that one decision can have on so many different people's lives. And so, Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for their story, and that you, God, allow us to be now a part of this grand story that you're weaving through this community of people. And we pray this in the name of Jesus.
Father, I'd like to thank you for the people on the stage and for the way that they have given their lives in service for you. And thank you for paving the way by giving your Son for us. I thank you for the people in this room, people that are sold out for you, people who are wondering about who you are, people that are struggling with different circumstances in life. And I pray that you would teach the same kind of lesson to them that you taught to me, that you can be trusted, that you will never leave us, that you are with us. And Lord, I pray that for this church in the future, that you would, just like Paul said, that you would show yourself in exceeding ways, ways that we can't even imagine, that are beyond our imagination. Lord, we look forward to a time, even 10 years from now, when we can look back to another chapter where you change lives eternally. We pray for much wisdom and unity in this church, that this church would be pleasing to you and would always seek to give you the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, one last time, would you help me thank and show our appreciation to the team? It is amazing on a day like this to take some time and to reflect back on how one story can affect so many other stories and ripple out on so many other people's lives. The stories of three families and the jump that they are willing to take, and then to see that ripple out and see stories like Arlene's and see stories like Stu's and see different people whose lives, just like you and I, that have been impacted because of that. But today isn't about just celebrating the story of three families, and it's not just about celebrating the stories of the people whose lives have been affected. But today is also about looking ahead with great anticipation for the stories that are just beginning and the stories that haven't happened yet. One of my favorite movies is the movie Gladiator, and in it, Russell Crowe's character Maximus, he says this line in the movie. It says that what we do in life echoes in eternity. That what we do in this life, it echoes in eternity. And so as we've been thinking about this next series for the next few months, we've entitled it Reverb. Because you see, what reverb is reverb is this intentional echo. It's an echo that reverberates out, but it's something that you planned, that it's purposeful when it's done right. It's strategic in nature. And those are the kind of lives that we want to live. I want to live a life that reverberates out all throughout the world, and that it's purposeful and it's meaningful, and God uses it to affect other people. And that's not just for our lives individually, for the kind of lives that I hope that we all want to live, but it's the kind of community that we want to be. That what could happen when all of us come together. Today we're talking about the stories of three people and three families, and they've come together and seeing the impact that it's had. But as Steve prayed earlier, what could happen when 1,400 people say, you know what, we want our lives to reverberate throughout the world. We want to come on this mission together. What could God do all across the world when people that got intentional about that? So for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about that. We're going to take some time to celebrate what God is already doing in our community and share stories of what's going on in Africa and Haiti. And we've been looking, I know many of you have been looking forward to the video of that. We're going to share stories of what's going on here locally, to share stories of what's going on here at our church. We're going to take some time to do that. And then we're going to also take some time to say, what could be and what role do we need to play in that? God, how do you want to use us to reverberate throughout the world? So as we get ready to close this morning, I invite you to stand with me. And we're going to close out in just singing together, that would be our prayer and that would be our anthem as a community, that God would use us and he would use our lives and he would use all that we do, all that we say, all that we give, all that we put our plans to use this community to reverberate throughout the world. And so let's celebrate and sing that together.